and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. It was a painful day for investors on Wall Street over worries about the economy and tariffs on Canada and Mexico.
No room left for Mexico or for Canada. No, the tariffs, they're all set. They go into effect tomorrow.
President Trump continues to insist Mexico hasn't done enough to crack down on drug trafficking.
Just so you understand, vast amounts of fentanyl have poured into our country from Mexico.
How will the tariffs impact Americans? Kelly O'Grady of Money Watch.
It really depends on the inventory. If that product is already here and they've got a long runway, you won't see that price increase until they're actually taking product, whether it be your beer and your alcohol or your agricultural products or your cars across the border.
The Dow finished the day 649 points lower. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 were off as well. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, in part one, we'll welcome the kids from Nakusa and get a preview of their musical. And in part two, we'll talk to our friends at the Southfield County YMCA. It's 4 to 5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Senator Ron Johnson spoke with Wisconsin constituents during a virtual town hall last week. Senator Johnson answered a question about President Trump pardoning all January 6th offenders, even those with criminal backgrounds.
In the end, I think Trump just got frustrated with all the detail. And he finally said, just pardon them all.
Johnson said he thought there was a miscarriage of justice in some cases.
Again, you take a look at all of it. In the end, I didn't have a real problem with what President Trump done. He did, even though I probably would have done it differently.
Those President Trump pardoned included people who took part in January 6th, but also had records for rape, sexual abuse of a minor, manslaughter, and other charges. Eric Hufte's defamation lawsuit against a PAC and many Wisconsin television stations came to an end last week. Lisa Hale has more.
Thursday, a judge threw out a lawsuit filed by Eric Hovde against several television stations, including some in Green Bay. Hovde, who ran for U.S. Senator against Tammy Baldwin last year, claimed that the ad placed by Wynn Senate PAC contained two defamatory statements. Judge Donald Zweedmulder issued an 8-page ruling that basically said a reasonable person would not have considered the statements, while negative, to imply illegal activity. The judge also noted free speech rights protect highly political content.
Bruce Mound Winter Sports Area in Clark County closed for the season on March 2nd. With the melting snow and warm temperatures, conditions deteriorated quickly. In Portage County, Standing Rock's Ski Hill is also closed for the season. Depending on the weather and trail conditions, staff will try to keep the cross-country ski trail open as long as possible. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Wisconsin with a loss at Michigan State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers losing to the Spartans 71-62. Both teams struggled at times with their shooting. What made the difference? Head coach Greg Gard.
Untimely turnovers. Yeah, I thought we had a one-point game with about 5-6 minutes to go, and we turned the ball over twice in a row coming in transition. And those are the things, the ones you can't give them a mulligan right back. After we had got them to miss, we got them to miss a free throw, and then some offensive rebounding.
The Badgers play Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette has a new women's volleyball head coach. Tom Madosa spent the last 7 years at South Carolina. He replaces Ryan Thies, who was hired away by Florida at the NFL scouting combine. Badgers left tackle Jack Nelson from Stoughton, Wisconsin, talked about his dad, Todd, who played for the Badgers, and his younger brother, Barrett, also now on the team.
I mean, it means the world to me. You know, I got a younger brother there right now playing O-line. Got to play a few years with him. You know, kind of put that on your back and be the one to put on for your city, for your family like that.
That's the Badgers' Jack Nelson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing this afternoon and spotty sprinkles possible this evening. High temperatures today tap the upper 40s and slide to the mid-40s tomorrow. And with temperatures staying above freezing, we're looking at rain ramping up tomorrow, which does look to flip to snow Wednesday morning.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll talk about Secretary of Defense Hegseth requiring a What Did You Do Last Week list from civilians. And Luke Mathers is in for Tuesday Tangents. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to Jacqueline, program coordinator with Rise Up Central Wisconsin, and talk a little bit about their mural of hope. Right now, we have with us on the phone lines, Caitlin Kessler from the Wisconsin Beef Council. Caitlin, great to have you with us.
Well, great to be back with you, James.
It feels like it's been too long. Like, it's great to have you here. We got to talk more often. It's great to talk to our friends at the Beef.
It always feels too long.
It does. we're going to be talking about, getting people ready for St. Patrick's Day here, talking some corned beef in just a little bit. But before we do, Caitlin, I don't know if you and I have talked about this or not before, but I am a bit of a cheeseburger connoisseur. A bacon double cheeseburger that's not only my favorite, maybe my favorite meal, but my pop. And I, whenever we would travel around the country, I would go to different restaurants and I would have that same meal at every restaurant because I was on a mission to find who had the best bacon double cheeseburger. So we're about to get into a topic here about best burger contest. I may know a little bit about, no, I'm kidding. I don't know what I'm talking about at all. But I like many people out there, love a good cheeseburger, love a good burger. And we're going to talk right now about the Beef Council announcing their 2025 Wisconsin's Best Burger Contest.
That's right. So we launched this for the first time last year. So this is only our second annual contest. And to be honest, James, we weren't quite sure how it was going to go. There are folks like you who absolutely love cheeseburgers and going out and trying to find which one they think is the best, but we hadn't had a contest like this in Wisconsin. And I still remember when we first opened nominations last year, my executive director called me that Monday morning and she said, "How many nominations did you think that we got overnight?" And I said, "I don't know, 50. I was going to be happy if we had 50. And it was 500.
Wow.
And we're seeing the same excitement this year now. So within the first weekend of announcing the second Best Burger Contest, we had about 1,800 nominations come through. We had 5,000 people look at the nomination page, and I think people look at it and they may pause because they don't realize you can only nominate one. So I think that they're looking at it and they're saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to take a break and think about it," because the nominations aren't due until March 21st. Now, that doesn't mean that we want you to put this on the back burner and forget about it. We want to get our top burgers on the map in Wisconsin. But just some background now that I've droned on about the history of this, but some background now as far as the logistics of this competition. So we have folks submit their nominations. Whoever has the top 8 nominations across the state, so the Wisconsin Beef Council doesn't choose the top 8. It's you, the consumers, you, the burger lovers. Mm-hmm. We select those, put them on a map, and then we have a secret panel of judges who travel around with the evaluation sheet, and they score the burgers, and that's how we select our best burger in Wisconsin.
Very cool. And for those out there that are very into March Madness and filling out brackets, a little bit similar to that.
Exactly. That's right. We're going to go from our Elite Eight, and we're going to avoid the Final Four just because then we're probably splitting hairs, right? We're just going to go straight to your champion, your winner. Last year, our winner was Pickles Bar and Grill up in Hazelhurst, so even further north than where you guys are there in Wisconsin Rapids. Had the pleasure of traveling up there for our press conference to announce them as the winner, and I tell you what, it was a fantastic burger, just a fantastic experience to be up there in the Northwoods and hanging out with the folks at Pickles. And what's really incredible is from the time that they were announced in the Elite Eight, so from April 1st until they were announced as a winner in May, and then through June, their burger sales went up 530%.
Wow.
They had to extend their operating hours. They had to hire another sous chef to come on board. It was a fantastic business opportunity for them. So that's also a fair warning. If you guys are nominating your favorite burger restaurant, let them know.
Yes, yes.
They could be prepared to have all hands on deck should they be announced in the Elite Eight.
That really is a strong point. First off, it's great to hear this. While this is a fun thing to be doing and in a, you know, kind of a cool thing to be doing, I think it certainly shouldn't be lost in that this is all about helping these local businesses, helping our industry out, in our economy out so much. And that part of it is really cool to hear. It's very rewarding to hear that. It's also just a lot of fun to be doing this. And it is a great note to businesses out there, especially we know that some businesses are, you know, they have just enough people to get by. So if you're going to give them more work, they really need a heads up. They really could use it. And I do have to say, Caitlin, it seems like every time we talk, I feel like I got into the wrong industry. Your job and what you guys get to do over there just seems like I should have gone into this. This is the line of work to do. This seems like a fun gig.
I'm so spoiled.
I do want to get into a little bit of what it takes to be eligible for this contest.
Absolutely. And so that's another thing, too. I know we've seen some comments on our Facebook page of folks saying what about burger trucks or food trucks or our seasonal stands. And unfortunately, they're not eligible. We need this to be a restaurant that's open and has this burger on their menu year-round. And a lot of that is because we're giving a lot of excitement and a lot of hype about this. And we would hate for folks to, once the top eight are announced, to get in their car and drive to a location just to find out that it's not going to be open for a couple of months there. So to be eligible, the burger must meet the following guidelines. It has to be 100% beef. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't add other ingredients like bacon that we love and cheese and things like that on top of the burger or spices within the patty itself, but the burger has to be 100% beef. All burgers have to be formed in a ground beef patty, served on a bun or some other bread product. We know people are very creative out there with biscuits or tortillas. And they can have whatever condiments or sauces that they should choose, but every component of that burger has to be placed between the bun or the bread pieces or served open face on some sort of bread product. And then, as I said before, the burger has to be available on the nominated restaurant's regular menu, and that restaurant has to be open year-round. And another thing, too, once the restaurants are the winners, they can only win once. And so it's been so fun to see last year's winner, Pickles Bar and Grill, share the love. And they've even given some open support of another restaurant who was in the Elite Eight last year, saying that they're giving them all their votes. And so that's what's been really fun to see, as well as the camaraderie within the restaurant industry. I remember among the Elite Eight last year, they were sharing their support for the individuals that were selected as the winners. And that's just really heartwarming to see as well.
It's really cool. It's an incredibly competitive business. And to see this, you know, there's few people that can understand what the restaurant industry is like outside of other restaurant people. So the relatability there that they have, and then the camaraderie, the being able to support each other, a rising tide raises all boats.
Yes, that's right. I love it.
And if people are curious, they want to kind of follow along with this, maybe they don't have a recommendation, but they just enjoy the show. How can they keep up to date on all of this?
Absolutely. So our website, beeftips.com, has all the information about the burger contest. I would also recommend following us on social media. So we're pretty much on any platform that you may be on, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, the works. And we will, once we announce the Elite Eight, that map, then we'll give a little bit of a deep dive into each of those eight restaurants. If you missed the Elite Eight last year, we still have that map on our website, beeftips.com. Just go to that Best Burger Contest page if you're curious and maybe want to do a little spring road trip here as our temperatures are heating up. You might be thinking about firing up the grill, but why not let someone else do some cooking for you as well and travel to those. I really want to emphasize that we need some love on the western side of the state. Last year, we had a lot of folks kind of in the South Central Wisconsin region, the Southeast Wisconsin region, and then a couple more northern areas, but that western side of the state could really use some love this year if there's anyone who wants to find their favorite burger joint in that region. And I do also want to say for our restaurant tours out there, we have resources for you to promote yourself and brag about yourself to get those nominations in. So we have flyers and postcards, table tents, QR codes, some social media assets, a lot of those elements for our restaurants to be able to download and promote and share their own story. I know some of our restaurants are a little bit too humble, so they might need that little bit of a push of encouragement from their favorite customers out there, but we really want to make this as turnkey as possible to help promote burgers in our local restaurant scene in Wisconsin.
It's a great point to bring up. As Midwesterners, we tend to not, you know, put a lot of attention on ourselves. So the customers out there, it's not surprising to hear them make nominations oftentimes, the business owners, the cooks not doing it themselves. And I do want to say good luck to everybody, because, boy, this is not going to be it's tough to make these decisions. Voting on something like this, there are no they're all great entries. They're all great burgers out there. We have so many great choices out there. So good luck, everybody, and keep along with this one. We'll be keeping up to date on it as well and let our audience know how that's going. Looking forward to it. We have Caitlin Kessler joining us from the Wisconsin Beef Council here. And Caitlin, we are getting closer and closer to one of our favorite holidays. St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner, and you can't think of St. Patrick's Day and not think of corned beef.
That's right. Have you ever tried making it yourself, like brining the brisket and everything yourself?
Actually, this might be funny to the audience. My Italian grandmother, my Nana, used to make it every my papa, her husband, loved it. So she made it every year. And where we grew up in Chicago, she had a couple of families that were from Ireland that she was very good friends with. And she, as far as I knew, she made it the way that they did. So, yeah, I've seen it made. I haven't made it myself, though.
Oh, wow. Well, you're probably more of an expert on it than I am, James. My goodness.
I was in the kitchen to grab things on high shelves. That's all that she had me do. I cut up some onions, maybe. And, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Oh, those are fun memories to be had. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of folks out there are probably like me, where you've probably indulged on corned beef brisket on St. Patrick's Day, but never quite ventured out to making it yourself. But it's truly made from that brisket flat half. That's the leaner cut of the brisket, and it's been salt cured in a brine. And the term corned, it doesn't come from how the animals are finished. But sometimes I think people assume that if it's corned mm-hmm. beef, that means that it was from a corn-fed animal. It actually comes from those large pieces of rock salt that are used in the brine, and that helps preserve the meat as well as add additional flavor and moisture. And you had mentioned that your grandma had those relationships with the folks from Ireland, and it actually gained its popularity in the United States when those Irish immigrants were looking for a cheaper alternative to bacon. So they started brining this beef brisket, and now it's used in a lot of different cuisines throughout the world. But we especially know that St. Patrick's Day is the time when this really comes out of the works. But we do know that there's a lot of ways that corned beef can be used year-round. And so for folks who are looking to cook it at home, there's a couple of different cooking methods. So you could do the classic oven roasted cooking method where you put it in the roasting pan with the seasonings and cover it with aluminum foil. When you purchase your corned beef brisket in the store, they'll often have that seasoning packet right in there with it. Mm-hmm. And I will say too, if you're going and buying the brisket and have questions, our folks, whether you're going to a supermarket and you're talking to the folks at the meat counter, or maybe you're going to your local butcher or meat processor, they love answering questions. This is their passion. And so don't hesitate to ask them if you have any questions about the best way to prepare it or cook it. If you know you're not going to have time to oven roast it, maybe you want to go low and slow in the slow cooker, you can put that in the slow cooker and top it with that seasoning packet, add in some water or some cider, cover it. And that's one of those where you could head out cooking it on high for about 7 hours or on low for about 10 hours until it's fork tender, and really just dive in with a classic brisket, potatoes, or cabbage, whichever you want in your St. Patrick's Day menu for that night.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, I have some familiarity with corned beef and everything, but I've never heard of it for breakfast.
I know. There's a lot of ways that we can have those planned overs and repurpose it. Of course, we have the breakfast hash. That's a great method of doing it, where you can take your shredded or cubed corned beef, mix it with some potatoes that you might also have left over. Maybe you want to shred up some hash browns, mix it with onions, some leeks, green peppers. It can also be substituted with your ham. So if you want a new take on your Denver omelet, you can use that in place of canned ham for those different breakfast preparations. Of course, if you have a lot of corned beef left over, you can have it for breakfast and lunch. We have a corned beef Reuben and other sandwiches that use thinly sliced corned beef. And you can also chop it or shred it to use it as a topper or a mix-in. We actually have a really fun recipe on our YouTube channel where it's a soup made with a corned beef brisket, a leftover recipe. So if you're curious about how to prepare that, hop over to our YouTube channel. We have quite a few in our corned beef brisket collections. I will say our official beef lady, Andy Horkin, their family is very, very Irish, and so they take St. Patrick's Day pretty seriously, and it's never a joke whenever she comes in, and I swear every day she walks in the office during March and says, it's March's corned beef season,
nice.
And they get really excited about it, so they have a lot of fantastic recipes there. And maybe if you're going to St. Patrick's Day and you aren't the one in charge of the brisket itself, you can always whip together an appetizer. I will say, James, I'm not a cook. And so the one that really stands out to me is a corned beef pickle dip. It reminds me of, I don't know if you guys ever enjoyed like ham salad as kids. And that's what this reminds me of, where you combine corned beef with mayonnaise and diced dill pickles. And it's just a really simple and delicious option for an appetizer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially for families out there that you've had this every year, it sounds like, you know, not just this, but what we're going to talk about coming up are some different options for corned beef. It's still a way of keeping the tradition, but maybe trying something different.
That's right. And that's what it's all about. You never know until you try it what might be your next big favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the pleasures. You know, you talked before about how you maybe went into the wrong line of business. That's one of the perks of my job, is I feel like every day I come in and I find a new way. You know, I grew up on a dairy farm. Now we raise beef cattle. You think that you know all the different ways of cooking and preparing beef, but I swear each and every day I learn a new way of doing it. And so that's a lot of the fun, and doing it together with family, having those memories. You know, like you said, even if you're just reaching in the top shelf of the cupboard or chopping up those onions, being there with family and having those memories, I think, is even better than the flavor.
Well said. Very well said. And as we're getting close to the end of our time here, we did want to mention as well that this is really good for small plates and dinner. Can you touch on that a little bit, Caitlin?
Absolutely. So one of those fun small plate options that you might have would be to slice your corned beef into small pieces, and you can braise them to tenderize them. And this is a really fun alternative to bacon or pork belly, and that can be featured in a lot of your small plate dishes. And just like how we have those brisket burnt ends at restaurants, that's one of my favorite go-tos to order, you can take that corned beef and use it as smoked burnt ends for that barbecue feature. You could smoke cubed corned beef beef pieces and toss them with a barbecue sauce for that really unique and fun taste. And we've talked about, you know, the dinner, the classic corned beef and cabbage that can have a place on your plate on St. Patrick's Day. But there's a lot of experimenting that you can do year-round. So you don't only have to buy your corned beef brisket in March. You can participate in this celebration all year-round. And you can use corned beef for different ingredients, like for topping pasta, adding to stews, even mixing it in with ground beef or meatloaf. And one option that even said on beefitswhatsfordinner.com was to sear a braised piece and serve it as a not-so-traditional center-of-the-plate steak. So have a corned beef version of a steak on your plate. And there's just a lot of different options to make corned beef versatile that I don't think a lot of us have considered. So once again, check out those websites, beeftips.com or beefitswhatsfordinner.com, to learn more about corned beef and try to find some fun and unique ways to incorporate it, whether it's St. Patrick's Day or you're just looking for something fun to do in these summer months coming up.
To your point, Caitlin, part of the reason I brought up that story earlier is because I've been around corned beef and hash and corned beef my whole life, really. And I had no idea how versatile it was. I had no idea all these things that we talked about today until I got your notes and was able to look into us. And I asked my mom about a little of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, this and this. And it was just really fun to hear about this and to go into this and dive into some more of this topic. Great conversation, as always, Caitlin. We appreciate the time. We got to talk again real soon. If people have follow-up questions, they would like to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they get in touch with you, Caitlin?
They can check out the About Us tab at beeftips.com, and there you can shoot us an email, give us a call. We would love to be able to connect, or as always, feel free to send us a message on social media, and please keep following along as we count down to finding our best burger in Wisconsin.
And encourage you to follow along with that and do your, you know, look into the Wisconsin Beef Council as well. This is a strong nonprofit that does some amazing work for our ag industry, for our farmers out there, and also gives us a lot of really fun topics and fun things like the burger contest and stuff. Really can't thank you enough for the time, Caitlin. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
We'll talk again real soon. And remember, you can find more out at beeftips.com, beeftips.com. Be sure to follow along with the Best Burger Contest at beeftips.com/events/Best Burger Contest. We'll be back with more show coming up here on Midday Magazine, a 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, we are locally grown radio.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Karis, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a major water break in Wisconsin Rapids today that may affect Grove School pickup. The break is on Lincoln Street between Goodnow and Plitz Avenues. The break has caused a significant sinkhole in the road. Everything is coned off, and there will likely be a detour for Grove School traffic control. People living in the area may see dirty water coming from the faucet while repairs are made. The Trump administration's new tariffs are set to take effect tomorrow. They'll raise taxes on goods from Canada, Mexico, and China, three of the nation's biggest trade partners. All consumers would feel the effects, and so would producers, like farmers. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Wisconsin farmers are bracing for impact. Michael Slattery is a farmer in Manitowoc County. He grows corn, soybeans, and canning vegetables, and he exports lots of them to other countries. He has a decent idea of how these tariffs could impact him. In 2018, during Trump's first term, when he added tariffs to China and China retaliated, Slattery lost 60% of his revenue.
It takes decades to build up a stable market relationships between an exporter and an importer. And so we were losing our biggest importer of agricultural produce because of these Trump tariffs.
Farmers would be affected twofold on exporting their products, and tariffs would raise prices on things like fertilizer and equipment parts necessary to their operations. In 2023, Wisconsin exported almost $4 billion worth of agricultural products. China, Canada, and Mexico are some of the state's largest trade partners.
Portage County seasonal weight restrictions will go into effect beginning on Friday, March 7th. You'll see signs posted on county trunk highways starting at 7 a.m. on Friday. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I'm currently three episodes into the new season of Reacher, and so far, I would recommend it as a Pete pick. Actual giant Alan Ritchson has returned as the title character, kicking butt and taking names. Season three so far has more of a feel like season one, where Reacher stays true to the character, giving assistance to the underdog and those in need. Reacher season three gets a so far so good rating. Stay tuned. Spoiler alert regarding White Lotus Season 2. Season 3 of the hit HBO show is underway. White Lotus is always set at a White Lotus resort, where in Episode 1, we learn a murder has been committed, but don't find out who the victim is or who done it until the last episode of the season. Jennifer Coolidge was the victim in Season 2 and says she hopes that her on-screen husband, played by John Grise, is the victim in the third season. That seems the obvious choice, but writer-creator Mike White likes to keep the audience guessing. You can catch White Lotus at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, maybe a sprinkle or shower and warm, lows upper 30s. A high in the upper 40s for tomorrow with rain mainly in the afternoon. Rain continues tomorrow night, mixing with snow on Wednesday and breezy, high mid-30s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Rise Up Central Wisconsin. We have Jacqueline Tolksdorf with us right now, program coordinator over there. Jacqueline, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm usually in Wausau, but thanks for having me all the way in Rapids.
I appreciate you bringing that up because I wanted to thank you for making the trip.
Yeah.
I genuinely appreciate that. Now, we would in the future, because this isn't the first time we're going to have you. This is the first time of many that I'd like to have you on the air with us. If you ever need to call in, that's perfectly fine. We don't mind that at all. But it is really nice to have you in person and be able to talk this out with you in the public in person. It's nice. So we appreciate making the trip and everything. At least weather cooperated with you a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice out. I'm going to be delusional for a few weeks. Where I'm like, it's spring, right? No,
same.
It's not.
I want to get into the Mural of Hope with you, and not only here in Rapids, but in Wausau and how that went. But before we do, we were talking a little bit in our pregame that we really haven't gotten to talk about Rise Up Central Wisconsin much. We've mentioned it on our morning show a little bit during our good stories of the day, but we haven't gotten to talk to you. We haven't gotten to talk to anybody over there. So I just want to take a beat and take a step back myself and let you kind of tell us a little bit about what Rise Up Central Wisconsin is.
Yeah, so Rise Up is kind of a two-part art nonprofit. We've scattered our projects all throughout central Wisconsin. So one part is a free community art studio. So we started seeing, you know, a lot of people in our population, even in central Wisconsin, who, you know, workshops or adult art workshops are too expensive. They're getting too pricey. And that's just because the cost of things are getting too high. So we, on our community art studio days, we have open studio days open to the public. Completely free. Our shelves are stocked with 100% donated materials. Mm-hmm. I think everyone who does arts and crafts abandons some kind of craft hobby.
Yeah.
So they always have leftovers. So we have a ton of yarn, sewing machines. We have a ton of painters who come. And through this, we've learned that there's probably a literal ton to maybe 8 million tons of creative people in central Wisconsin. There's so many creative people. But not a lot of people making money at their art. So a big part of what we do is kind of advocating for as much as we can. We have a program where more professional artists can apply for very large canvases. You can go to craft stores and get like a tiny little canvas for $20. But then when you're looking at something the size of this room to make a living at, that gets into the hundreds of dollars that many artists can't afford. So we have initiatives to get them canvas stretching. We have initiatives to get them jobs and stuff like that. And that leads into the other part of our art nonprofit. So we pair working artists who get fair pay. They advocate for what they want to earn as a muralist. And they do workshops with other nonprofits. So we'll pair a muralist with a nonprofit, and you know, if someone calls and says, hey, I own a restaurant, can you paint a cheeseburger with a smiley face on our restaurant? I go, we can't, because we're data nerds and we like the nerdy impact reports of how a mural can change stuff, because we get too many people who are like, art is stupid, like, don't we don't need murals and stuff like that. So we like to have projects that really, the proof is in the pudding of the impact, and we get the community involved. They help paint even. Our lead artists will design the mural, and then the community will paint by number sections of it, or we have a fun one coming up that is a unique way to get the community involved and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so we pair other nonprofits with artists. So we get those artists paid. We advocate for them to have kind of a great big project throughout the year. And then they kind of workshop with the community to get them involved as well. So we're kind of a two-part art nonprofit.
You know, I think one thing that is noteworthy, and I bring this up whenever I have an opportunity, Wisconsin finished dead last in the union when it came to funding the arts, which is why things like Rise Up Central Wisconsin or other things that we talk about here on this station are so important to our community, to our economy. Because if I can't reach your heart, maybe I can reach your wallet.
Yeah.
These creatives that we're talking about here are a huge impact of the economy here in Wisconsin. And as we see less and less snow, and some of our friends up north are struggling more and more, one of the things that I find really creative, if you will, is a lot of the lean into the creative community. And a lot of that, how that is really, you know, meeting people halfway with this and being able to be like, hey, we got you. We got a way. We know what this is like.
Yeah.
Because I'll say, while I am not a painter or that type of artist, I've been an actor since I was 7 years old.
Okay.
And one of the things that I talk about when I teach acting, or I talk about, my own kids come to me and say they want to be a writer, or they want to be an actor. Be a surviving artist, not a struggling artist.
Yeah.
And this group, the Central Wisconsin, is helping people do that, is helping people be a surviving artist, not a struggling artist.
Yeah.
We learn this when we're young. Hey, everybody's different. Everybody gets a different skill set. And artists don't choose this skill set necessarily. This is what we were born with. Mm-hmm. So to be able to use that and do good with it while also making some kind of a living or something is the American dream.
Yeah.
That's what we all strive for. It's no different than somebody who has always wanted to work on cars, and that's what they're doing now. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's so cool to hear of an organization that is doing some work on that and to build bridges and help these artists find work, find different ways of making a living. That part is a huge part of the economy that is going on, whether in Wausau or here in Rapids, wherever you're seeing a difference. I also, just doing a little bit of homework on this one, the communities that support, like, have a local community theater or similar to Mural of Hope or some of these things. Those communities are that much better off economically.
Yeah.
It makes a big impact on their economics. So, again, if I can't reach your heart or your creative mind or spirit, maybe your taxes I can affect and I can touch on that. Because these things all add up. It's all a domino effect. And the idea of it, too, is so, like, all of that is important. This is also a really fun group of people. This is a really fun organization that's doing some really cool work. And I imagine that there are people out there listening to us, Jacqueline, that are like, well, I fit that category. I could really be used to help. Can people reach out to you guys and kind of add their name to the database, if you will, and some of that?
Absolutely. So a big part of our advocacy is trying to just get people in Central Wisconsin aware of just how many artists are around who are ready to paint your shed a funky color, who are ready to maybe make that cheeseburger with a smiley face. So we've started an artist collective of local artists who they're rip-roaring and ready to go for, mm-hmm. you know, any projects that you're thinking of, all the way down to small artists who don't, we have artists who don't fit in with, like, mm-hmm. the craft shows or selling doilies at, you know, a bake sale. And then we have artists who don't fit in with selling $8,000 picture of a puppy at like a festival or something like that. We have a lot of talented people in between who we just need to get their name out there mm-hmm. and, you know, support them as much as we can. And I think this was the year, 2024, we moved up to 49th.
Wow.
In state funding for the arts. Nice. I haven't really wanted to look up who number 50 moved into. Maybe it's Idaho, Kansas. Mm. Probably not. It's probably like...
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'm
this
like,
is.
Oh, it's horrible out here.
This is the work that needs to be done.
Yeah.
This is. And again, this is all. I'm focusing on this not just as a creative, but as somebody who cares about this state, cares about the economy of this state, and sees a natural resource right in this state. Because something that Jacqueline like hit on in the first 5 seconds here, there are so many creatives in this area, in Central Wisconsin alone, let alone in the state up and down. It's something that as a young person, I didn't quite see. I bring it up a lot more as an adult because I want to highlight it because I feel like I missed this when I was younger and I want to make up for that. I think it's very cool. I think it's very noteworthy. We're proud of a lot of things in this state and we should be.
Yeah.
We were just talking with somebody from the Beef Council. We're certainly in part of our ag industry is the backbone of this state, backbone of our country. So we're certainly proud of that. But we can also chew gum and walk at the same time.
Yeah.
We can be proud of two different things.
Yeah.
While we are proud of look at it this way. We're proud of beef, we're proud of cranberries, we're proud of dairy, the dairy state, all these things. Also, you're going to find those same people that have Packer jerseys.
Yep.
Same people that are proud of that or this. It's no different than the arts are no different than sports.
Yeah.
They're no different. They're just another thing for you to kind of be proud of your community from, be proud of your state from. And whether we're talking about some of the legends like Spencer Tracy or Paul Newman or some other great actors and different creatives that have come from this state, some of the ideas and inventions that have come out of this state. Wisconsin's got a long history of creatives and supporting creatives.
Yeah.
So really what Rise Up Central Wisconsin is doing is really keeping up traditions with Wisconsin, I think, in many ways, bringing a highlight to a lot of this. One of the other parts of this, too, that I think is really unique and important is how long this has been around, this organization. Can you tell us a little bit of the history of this and how long Rise Up Central Wisconsin's been around?
Yeah, so Rise Up Central Wisconsin was founded in 2017. We had our two great founders, Christy Keeley and Tara Drager. They found kind of a incubator program through the Mural Arts of Philadelphia. So Philadelphia is the OG of all murals and public art. For like every city block, there's like 18 murals.
That makes sense. On the building. I hadn't thought of it before, but yeah, that makes sense.
And so they had this great program called the Porchlight Program that integrated, because we always, you know, when we care about the arts, we go, hey, this actually has an impact on health and healthcare. And if we go into an art vacuum in society, our society kind of sucks a little bit. So
it does.
How does this tie in? And we always have to defend it to certain people when they're like, ah, we're cutting the art school budget. And you're like, no, but please don't. And so this Porchlight program kind of gave them like the grassroots effort of how to tie in community involvement with the murals. So each mural, like we said, isn't a cheeseburger on a restaurant. It's we workshop with the community. Each project that we have is to serve whoever is doing the workshop and stuff like that. And so it's all about getting the community involved and having some kind of impact. You know, there's a we advocate for art just for art's sake, but we also advocate for maybe art with a little bit of impact and a little bit of punch behind it.
It's one of the ways, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, we've seen more and more of this, of people in the community wanting to do good in the community. But for every one of us that have a skill set that you can maybe, you know, help in our medical field or some of these other things, as creatives, we want to do good. We want to impact our communities, impact society. But how do you do that? Well, you take your skill set and you find different ways to do that. For me and for my staff here, a lot of us, it's promoting events and people like yourselves and being able to do that. We all find our different ways, and the creative world is no different when it comes to that. And that kind of leads us, Jacqueline, to Mural of Hope.
Yeah.
And diving into this a little bit more, where did this, we touched on where it began and such, but can you tell us a little bit more about this and how, the impact it had in Wausau?
Yeah, so we, through the years, have had many projects trying to focus on what good could we do with the community who's involved. If you've been to Wausau, you've seen the big Rise Up mural, maybe downtown on the 400 block.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
And that one was specifically for people who are in alcohol and drug recovery. They helped paint it. They helped do the paint by number. We workshopped how is, like, just art and channeling something for good, getting you through sobriety or getting you through kind of these really tough times ahead of you and stuff like that. And then, so this specific Mural of Hope one, we've partnered with a nonprofit here in Wisconsin Rapids. So the Wood County Human Services has a youth program that they've been doing now since about 2019. And so this youth program focuses on basically, instead of having the word at-risk kids, we have all these buzzwords in like nonprofits where it's like at-risk kids. But at-risk kids are basically the kids in the preteens, the teenagers in Wood County who have not had a great start. They don't have a good foundation. So maybe parents have had some drug or substance abuse. Maybe parents have been to jail. Maybe even the preteens or the kids have been to juvenile jail. And now you're trying to work on yourself as a preteen or a teen, and society says, well, there's not really a lot of hope that you're going to be someday whatever you want to be, because you've started, you know, most of the kids are below the poverty line. Almost all the kids that we're working with have some form of trauma that have been involved in their life, and they can feel it. They feel it when they're getting to this age where 18 is coming around the bend, and is there hope? Is there hope for a future for them? So this, through Wood County Human Services, they've developed this program to try to just be a beacon of, like, how can we cultivate opportunities for these kids? Not just jobs or getting them used to, like, the workforce, but, like, how can we really focus on giving them actual hope for their future?
This speaks real closely to me. Jacqueline, this was me.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family with addiction. I grew up in a very poor family on the other side of the tracks and all those things. And whether it was teachers that I had, or it was even sometimes family members telling me that I was never going to get any farther than my father got, or the idea of wanting to be an actor was one of the silliest things they ever heard, or anything like that. I'm here to tell you that can change, that you can change it with support, with the right people around you. I've been a SAG member since 2008. I have been in radio for 22 some years. I have stayed on the right side of things for the majority of my life. Not perfect, but I've done an all right job. I wouldn't even consider myself a success story, because I know people that have done even more and come from even worse than I have to accomplish a lot. And I'm talking about people not in another state, not around, in this town right here I'm talking about. So it is not only noteworthy to have these organizations and the support and the work that they can do, but to those out there on the fence, to those out there, well, how much good does it really do? You're hearing it now in real time from me. I'm telling you. And I'm one example. There's hundreds, if not more than that, examples out there. And look at what the good that can happen from this. Not only are you supporting the creative community and these creatives, but these are people, again, that pay taxes, go on to do work in our industries around here in this state, and add to the economic health of our state. It all adds up, and it all has such a great positive to it, too, along with the idea of this is just a good thing to do because it's the right thing to do, now, among all these other things.
Yeah.
So with Mural of Hope, with a project like this, how can we help? How can we be a part of this? I can't even draw a stick figure. How can I help with this, though, Jacqueline?
Well, even people who can't even draw a stick figure, you definitely will be invited to help. So we love to get the community involved in stuff. We have a very talented artist. Her name is Olivia Majernick. She'll be designing the mural and actually painting real preteens and teens who want to be depicted in the mural as some kind of, a little mark on, their history and their timeline, and they've got a future and they got stuff to say. But the community can get involved in July. So we are right now working on funding for the mural because we're a nonprofit. We work on business sponsorships, which any business can be a part of to help fund a part of the mural. We, in July, will team up with the Wood County Sheriff's Department, and we're going to have, instead of a paint-by-number day, you don't even have to paint-by-number or draw a stick figure, because we're going to have a paint balloon fight.
Nice.
So everyone's going to get nice little kind of plastic suits to wear, goggles and everything. We're going to have mobile walls available, and basically you're going to grab a paint balloon instead of a water balloon, a paint balloon. I'll talk with the Wood County Sheriff's Department to see, how much they want to get pelted with water balloons, because we might have to limit that for some people.
We talk with them once a month.
Yeah.
They'll actually be in a couple of days.
Nice.
And this may be the very first question I start with Sheriff Becker with.
How many paint balloons are you willing to get pelted with?
and when did you come up with this idea? Because it seems like such a Sean thing. It's such a great idea. This is a big part of what we're talking about with this, too. We want to help support artists, and we live to get a community support to this. But like every good nonprofit and all of Central Wisconsin, really in this state, here's a great opportunity as well for our Sheriff's Department to kind of build bridges and just show that they're human beings, which is something that Sheriff Becker and I talk about quite a bit and everything. So just the added layers to this are really nice to see as well. And a great partnership right there, too. That's going to be fun for everybody.
Yeah, some of these kids have had experience already with the Sheriff's Department, whether that is the sheriffs had to come when they were a kid and take them out, or they've already been to juvenile detention.
Yeah.
And so they're very on board with kind of bridging the gap of, it doesn't have to be a, it will kind of probably be a cops versus teens fight in July on that day, but the public will be invited to come. We'll announce that when we have that all ready of, teens and preteens and parents can come and, watch how the splatters happen. And then the splatters will dictate the background of the mural. And so the mural is going on 340 Grand Avenue. So it's on the corner of 4th and Grand Avenue. And so in July, we'll have that paint splatter day. Our talented artist, Art Olivia, is working on the art that will go on top of those splatters that the community makes. And then we're planning a kind of a big blowout food truck unveiling event in September. So everyone will be welcome to come by in that parking lot by 340 Grand Avenue. You'll get to see the mural. You'll get to see all the businesses who are showcased, who helped us get there. Grant funding is a little iffy nowadays, mm-hmm. so we're really counting on the support of local businesses to kind of step in and help us. And, you know, we understand that it's not something all businesses want to support when we, you know, in the nonprofit world, you either say at risk or you be honest and say at risk means kids who maybe have gone to juvenile detention, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, they've had a troubled past. Maybe they come from a family that you don't have values with. But these kids, we got to work on hope for them. And yeah. that's what the youth program is all about. And that's what this mural is for. We love historic murals, all throughout Wisconsin and stuff like that. But a teenager will often see those murals and go, I don't really see, like, my future or yeah. anything in there. I don't really see anything that's hopeful, recently in this world. So
this is a great yeah. opportunity to create that and to be a part of it. And you could be a part of it, too. Art supplies are things that we can always use in different ways of helping, impacting that way also. And Jacqueline, if people would like to do that, would like to be a part of this or just be a sponsor, any of the above, how can they find out more? How can they reach you?
Yeah, so you can go to our website to figure out more about the project and how to sponsor and how to contribute in any way you can. Our website is www.riseupart.org. We can always be reached at our email, art@riseup.org, or by phone number, 715-497-6142. And we're always happy to chat about what's going on with different projects in Wisconsin Rapids, throughout central Wisconsin, and all our other kind of project locations, and just get to know like how art has kind of connected you to our community and what we can do to, you know, serve other creatives in our area.
I think it'd be really fun to be able to talk again as we're getting closer to the unveiling and how this is developing, which also means that you did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back. I'm sorry.
I will take my punishment with a smile.
We look forward to it. Thank you again for the time and all the work that you and your team are doing with this. So we really appreciate you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We will have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, Visit va.gov/homeloans.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lamack, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report. President Trump said today the 25% tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada will start tomorrow.
They can't come in and steal our money and steal our jobs and take our factories and take our businesses and expect not to be punished, and they're being punished by tariffs.
Business reporter Jason Brooks was watching as the markets reacted.
The Dow plummeted 649 points, the NASDAQ took a 497-point dive, and the S&P lost 104 points.
Mark Hamrick of Bankrate says while the markets reacted quickly, it may be a while before the average American feels the effects.
I think it's going to be a while before people really see the real-time impacts of tariffs occurring, whether it's in the grocery store or on a car dealer lot.
Trump is also adding another 10% tariff on goods from China. CBS News special report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here.